Welcome to the Sunny Hill podcast. This message was recorded at our Poole campus. For more information about service times and locations, please visit sunnyhill.church.
How's everyone doing? Like I said before, if this is your first time at Sunny Hill, we just want to welcome you. We're really excited. We've got a really special service going on next week. So I'm just walking over here to just grab my coffee before Dan kicks it over. Because, you know. Next week, we've got an ordination service happening here. An ordination is just a way of recognizing someone into a position. We're really excited. Louise Bird, one of our lead pastors, has been recognized as the first woman's pastor into the Apostolic Church next week here at Sunny Hill. Man, we're so excited. You should be excited. Well, we've been recognizing in her for ages now. The Apostolic Church is going, oh yeah, let's get on board with that. So we're really excited about that. Where ordination service is going to be happening at the beginning of the 11 o'clock service. So for you guys, come as normal. Come as normal. If you're visiting with us today from the 9:15 though, go to the 9:15, stay on, come and join us. And if it's a really good service, just keep going and get two hits in. So that's going to be great. If you've been here for the last little while, you'll know we're in a series around, around prayer. How's everyone's 52 days of prayer going? I mean, some people who are in it, okay, three of us, it's going all right then. Great. So we're really amped and pumped by 52 days of prayer. That's going well. We're in the middle of a prayer series, and we began the series kind of three, 4 weeks ago with Pastor Phil bringing a great word about coming weak to prayer. We don't have to come just kind of going, I've got everything together. But in our weakness and our authenticity, God can do some of his greatest works. He then followed it up the following week by saying, come and pray hungry, and really challenging us to fast and to be a people who practice the discipline of fasting in our lives as we look to God. And then last week, Ollie Goldenboard brought a loud and proud message. If you were here, you would remember, on praying boldly, bringing audacious prayers in. It was such a great message. And I'm going to be wrapping up the series this week simply by looking at the fact that we should be people who come and pray regularly. Praying regularly. To start off with, I wanted to just drop a bit of truth for you. So if you're writing notes, you want to capture this in your notes. Your brain is lazy. If this is your first time at Sunny Hill, we love that you're here, but your brain is lazy. And if you've been at Sunny Hill for a long time, we also love that you're here, but your brain is lazy. People who study brains, and I caught myself out in the first service by trying to think of what they were called. Neuroscientists, boom. And there is some knowledge drop right there. People who study brains have worked out that how our brains operate mean that ongoingly what our brain does when it comes to any issue we face is look for the path of least resistance to deal with that issue. What do I mean? Let me show you. Dan, Lewis, come on up. This is Jake, Dan, and Lewis. Jake, Dan, and Lewis are going to help me represent what happens inside of my brain when I face an issue. I mean, probably less hugging is going on in my brain, but maybe not in yours. What I want you to do is... I mean, are you guys done? Just more? I mean, just carry going? Yeah, okay, cool. Get that all out your system. Great. This is my brain on this side. This is my actual brain. And on this side are the actions that my brain is going to drive me to. And how your brain constructs things as you're growing up is your brain does these little things. It's called neuropathways, which connects your brain's pathways from certain feelings, emotions, or situations you face. It runs a message to your brain, and your brain tells you how then to respond to those things. For example, someone's hiding behind a door at my house. I walk in. They jump out. Ha! Me goes, I need to send a message to my brain. Hey brain, someone's just jumped out at me. Scream. Ah! And if I do that enough times repeatedly, that will become my response to getting frightened. But if you grew up in a household where people pull pranks on each other all the time, like all the time, something different works out in your brain. Someone jumps out. Hey-ya! You? Your brain? That's funny. Laugh. and then you laugh. Are you guys doing a little thing now? Okay, cool. Ha, 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 and then you laugh. And if you repeat this action enough times, this becomes your standard response. I don't know if you know people who, when they face danger, start to laugh. Like one of the most inappropriate responses at times to danger. Like they're about to get into a fight and they're all like, ha, 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 ha. When you're thinking that's probably the worst thing you can do right now. It's pretty much because of this pattern of behavior that's been established and reinforced over time. Something goes on. Brain goes, do this. And this becomes an automatic response to the situation that you face. And this automatic response is how we live our lives and practice everything we do. We've actually got terminologies for this. This is why people go, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. What scientists are telling us is when we're really young, these little runs of information that we're forming happen really quickly. But the older we get in our teen years, your brain is trying to get rid of the unused little runs of connection. And going, these are the main ways these, like I or whoever is responding to a situation. We need to strengthen those connections and get rid of the unused ones. And by the time you're roughly 25 or so, you've pretty much got all of your fixed connections in place for how you respond to things. And then when you face a situation, because your brain is lazy, it goes, let's follow the path of least resistance. This is why for a lot of us, we look at certain situations and immediately we're stressed, anxious. Immediately we have concern. We feel hopeless. There's no way out. What can we do? A lot of this is because of behavior that we have reinforced over a period of time by running this message up to our brain. Feel anxious about this right now. It's all going to go horribly wrong for you. I'm feeling really anxious. I don't know what I'm going to do. And this actually becomes the path of least resistance that our lazy brain begins to take. And it's why we keep responding. And so we may say to somebody, man, I'm trying really hard. I know God is going to come through, when actually we're going, I don't know if he is path of least resistance. I'm sure this is going to work out for the good. I'm going to see a victory. God is fighting my battles, yada, yada, yada. But probably he isn't. It's all going to fall apart. My life is going to go down the toilet. Path of least resistance. And the older you get, the more these paths become fixed. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. Well, it's a lie. You can. Because you can make new paths. But what took you seconds to do when you were a child, the older you get, is going to take you much longer. When you're 25, longer. When you're 35, longer. When you're 45, longer. When you're 65, you get where I'm going with this, hopefully. It's going to take you longer, but you can build new pathways. We actually call these things, these automated responses in our lives, habits. It's a habit. It's what we automatically do in situations without thinking. And I really believe that today God wants to challenge you in the habit of prayer, where prayer becomes the pathway of least resistance for your lazy brain. How great would it be when you face a situation and you run it up the pathway, your brain goes, it's too much effort, just pray. Oh well, I guess I should pray. You guys can go sit down. You're great. Everybody with me. Your brain is designed to do repeated tasks. It's how you're built. It's how you're designed. And repetition, repeated tasks that you do, means that when you respond to certain things, your brain is busy learning that. And so by building in repeated, deliberate tasks, you can begin to see new pathways work out. But what took it really quickly when you were a child is now going to take you a huge amount of time as an adult, but you can make new pathways. So about 602 BC, a Babylonian empire was growing. It's a massive empire. And the empire, as it grew, started to expand out and started to conquer other lands. And one of the lands it conquered was a land called Israel. And in Israel, the Babylonians came in and they took up all of the young men to use in the development and growth of their empire. And there were four young men amongst all of these young men that were taken up that we read about. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were men who ended up getting thrown into a massive like fire oven for believing in God. And there was another guy. His name was Daniel. And Daniel, as with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, got swept up by the Babylonians, were put to work, and as they were put to work, proved themselves to be honest and hardworking men, and began to find favor with the local rulers in Babylon. They slowly worked up in position, and Daniel worked himself up in position just through being a good hard worker, being honest and authentic. And as he worked up in position, they saw many kings come and go. And we pick up a story where there's a king ruling called Darius. And King Darius had heard about Daniel, he had seen Daniel, and Daniel had found favor with Darius because of Daniel's character and authenticity. And as Daniel was coming up in the ranks, Darius ends up making Daniel one of the highest officials in all of Babylon. He's like number two in charge of the whole of this empire. And as the story unfolds with Daniel being into these positions, you see him grow, but you also see the jealousy of the other officials that are alongside of him grow at the same time. And they really want the power that Daniel has. They want to be able to come and take away the position and favor Daniel has and make it their own. And at the story where we're picking it up, Daniel's now about 80 years old. So he's an old guy. And he's been doing this for a while. And the officials decide they'll come up with a great scheme to get Daniel. As any good politicians would do, they say, let's go find the dirt on Daniel. We go look for the dirt, we get the dirt, we then use the dirt to discredit Daniel, and we can take over his position. And so off they go. They're speaking to the neighbor, they're speaking to his driver. I don't know if he had a driver, the chariot, I don't know what he had. They're speaking to everybody around, and it tells us in the story that they could find nothing, nothing that they could hold up against Daniel. That's crazy. The only honest politician in the world, Daniel. The politician that if you go snooping, you will find nothing to hold against him. And so then they came up with even a more devious plan. Well, if we can't get him by finding dirt on him, what we're going to do is we're going to trap him by making the godly things he does illegal. And so they go to King Darius and they say, Darius, we have met with all of the officials and we've all decided that because you're such a great king, what we're going to do is even though that there are so many different nations represented inside of the Empire of Babylon, for a period of time, nobody should be allowed to pray to their own God. They all have to pray to you as king of Babylon. And Darius heard this, and as he listened to this, what he thought was, if all of the officials are on board, let's do that. And so they passed a law which said, if for a period of time you pray to anybody but King Darius, you would be thrown into the lion's den. And along comes Daniel. He's at home and he's busy praying to God. And as he's praying to God, the officials come in and go, ha ha ha, we have caught you out. They grab Daniel, drag Daniel out of his room, take him to King Darius and go, Darius, look, this man Daniel has now been busy praying to his own God instead of yours. And you passed the law which said if he does that, he needs to get thrown into a lion's den. And the story tells us that Daniel was really sad. I mean, Darius was really sad about this because he really liked Daniel. But the law is the law. And so they took this 80-year-old man. They brought him to a massive, massive, massive pit, tied rope around him, lowered him down. And in the bottom of the pit are all of these lions, and they roll a big stone over the top. Now, I know a lot of us have heard the story, Daniel in the lion's den. And some of you have even done the coloring in Sunday school that comes with the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And in our head, what we picture was Daniel, quite a young lad, hugging lions. Oh, nice lion, so fluffy, love you. Oh, cute lion, you're so well behaved. The reality isn't that. Here is an 80-year-old man in a den of hungry lions. Their sole purpose was to eat people. How often were they fed? I don't know, as often as they lowered people down into the pit. And here's Daniel with these ferocious lions. Daniel was not like a person who went, no lion, bad lion, no eating my leg lion, leave me alone lion. That did not exist. Daniel is in a lion's den. In my head, all I picture is an 80-year-old man with these lions trying to escape. Like, all. That's what I see. It's what I see in my head. Whether that's right or wrong, I leave for you to decide. But Daniel wasn't having a little hug with the lions. They weren't well-behaved lions. And even in those cartoon pictures, the lions are about that big, like little baby cub lions. They're proper lions. And here he is in the lion's den. Now, I don't think that the Bible is metaphorical in terms of this equals this. But what I can say is this. Everybody, at some point in their lives, ends up in the lion's den. I know this to be true. Right now in this room, some of you are in the lion's den. My marriage is crumbling. I'm in the lion's den. My finances are falling apart, and it's destroying me. I'm in the lion's den. My illness and health is overtaking me. I'm in the lion's den. My work situation has become unbearable, that it's bringing the worst out in me. I'm in the lion's den. Everybody at some point ends up in the lion's den. It's reality. For some of you, you're here looking at the entrance to the lion's den. I can see what's coming up. And for some of you, you're going, everything is cushy. Everything is great. I'm not going to be in the lion's den. What den? If this is you, that's amazing. That's amazing. But reality, you're going to end up in the lion's den. It gets crazier than that. 1 Peter 5:8 says these words. It says, the devil is like a lion prowling around, waiting to find someone to devour. The devil is like a lion in the den, waiting around to find someone to devour. Now, I don't know about you, but here's a guy, Daniel, who, when you look at him, no one could find anything wrong with him to hold against him. That's a good guy. The only way he could get caught out is by people taking godly things and making them illegal. He's a good guy. Surely, if there is a person alive who shouldn't have gone into the lion's den, that God should have saved from the lion's den, it was Daniel. Hey God, let me just quickly help you out here. I've done nothing wrong. I'm such a good guy. These people can find nothing wrong that I've done. I'm just serving you with all of my heart. God, they're going to throw me in the lion's den for speaking to you. Come on, don't put me in the den. Save me from the lion's den. He wasn't. He was put in the lion's den. It's where we find him. So many of us want God to save us from the den. Save me, God, from the den. Don't let me get into the den. We even start bartering with God. God, if you keep me out of the den, I will never again speed my motor car. Or whatever it is. And I think that it's an exception to the rule when God saves someone from the den. And down goes Daniel into the den. And story carries on because we hear that Darius couldn't sleep the whole night. He was that worried about Daniel. And in the morning, as the sun came up, he ran down to the den and he's all to the gods, remove the rock, remove the rock, remove the rock. And he cries out, Daniel, Daniel, has the God you served saved you? Has the God you served saved you? He's looking, waiting, in silence. So often, we don't want to be in the den. We're trying so hard to stay out. And from the den, a voice comes back. Darius, O great king, my God has sent an angel to hold closed the mouths of the lions. Darius, my God has sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions. He did not spare him the den. But he did spare him the lions. And so Darius says, get him out. And they drag him out. And out comes this 80-year-old man without a scratch on him. How? How is this possible? How does someone go into the lion's den but come out without even a scratch? Well, there's the easy supernatural answer. God held closed the lion's mouth. Bloop, bloop, bloop. But I think there's something more important that happened in the story that we miss, which is where Daniel actually defeated the lions. And I'm telling you now, it wasn't in the den. It was long before that. If we remind the story, you remember when the officials went to Darius to pass a law to say, if you pray, you're going to end up, and if you're praying and we catch you, we'll end up throwing you into the lion's den because you're not praying to the king. We read these words straight afterwards in Daniel 6:10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, when Daniel found out that this law had come into place, when Daniel discovered that this law that said if he prays to God, he's going to be thrown into a den of lions, had been signed by the king and come up into effect, listen to what he did. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. His brain followed the path of least resistance because his brain is as lazy as yours. And so a law is put in place to prevent Daniel from praying, to try and catch Daniel out so he would be destroyed. And what does his brain tell Daniel to do? Whew. So there's a law put in place that if you pray, you're going to get thrown into a lion's den. I could try and solve that. That sounds like a lot of effort. What's the path of least resistance? I should pray. I should pray. I honestly think it's here that Daniel defeats the lions. It's here that he defeats the lions. Not in the den. Not in the den. Because when everything was coming up against Daniel and the reality of what was going to unfold was about to unfold, what Daniel chose to do in that moment is do what he had always done. Go to his house, open windows, get on his knees towards Jerusalem and pray. And do it so regularly that they knew when to catch him. That's the crazy thing. They could literally go, we know Daniel prays at this time, this time, and this time. So as long as we're standing outside, we can catch him. And here's for me what's even more crazy. Come on, Daniel, catch a wake up. Just pretend you're sleeping, dude. Pull the mattress over your head. Put your duvet over you. Jesus, I'm just praying to you now. Yes, God, amazing. Oops, someone there. Hallelujah, praise you. It's not hard. Or, Daniel, close the window and curtains. Come on. That's a really easy win, and no one knows what you're doing inside. There is not complicated, but his brain is as lazy as yours. Let's follow the path of least resistance. Pray. And so he gets down. Man, and if I was Daniel and I was praying, my prayers would have been, God, come on, save me from the lion's den. This is an injustice. This is ridiculous. I can't believe this is going on. Make sure it doesn't happen to me. Keep me safe. This is all crazy. Don't let this happen to me. Come on, God, I'm a good guy. Look at me. I'm good. I'm good. That's not what we read here. What does Daniel do? Praise and give thanks as he had done previously, as he had always done. The story says that he just trusted that God would save him. He didn't know what that would look like. He didn't know what that could be. But he just trusted that God would save him. And in this repeated pattern of prayer, Daniel, by doing it regularly and ongoingly, forges a pathway in his brain that made his brain go, I know what to do in any given situation because I'm lazy. And that's simply to pray. Let me tell you now, honestly, if I was in Daniel's situation, I would be stuffed. Because I don't know if I've built that pattern into my life. My brain would tell me, run away, escape, find a way out. God will surely open up a door somewhere else. That's not what happened with Daniel. His brain told him, pray, pray. Your brain could tell you, oh no, my whole life is messed up. What about my family? What's going to happen? If I pray and I do these things, oh my word, I'm going to get thrown into lion's den. I can't do that. I can't pray. Maybe God will be fine. God will be fine if I don't pray for the next little while. I just can't cope with it. It'll be all right. It'll be all right, right, right. That may be the pattern you've built into your brain on how you respond. For some of you, you will be crippled with fear and anxiety. I just got to stay at home. I can't leave. I can't leave. I'm too scared. It's the pattern we've built. Daniel, what did he always do? Man, and so when the hardship came, when the lion's den came, and it will come for all of us, his response, anything else is a lot of effort, I know. Let's pray. Let's pray. And I think in that moment, in that faithfulness, God goes, that's cool, I will save you. And he did not save him from the den. He did save him from the lions. And so Daniel comes out of the lion's den and he's all 80, but he's got no scratches on him. And it says that in this moment, Darius looks. And the king realizes that these other officials had tricked him. And so the very thing that Daniel's enemy had thought would be his downfall becomes the very thing that's going to end up giving him more prominence. The very thing that was supposed to be what would remove him will end up raising him up even further. But something even more beautiful works out, because it says that Darius then disciplined the officials, and we can only assume that was chucking them either into like a big burning oven or into a lion's den. And on the side, what's going on with the Babylonians? Burning oven, fired, like big fire pit thing, a lion's den. These are the most creative kind of disciplines I've ever heard of in a nation. Imagine like here, you're caught speeding. Well, you can either go for your 3 points, or instead of sending you to driver awareness, you will go into a den of lions. Woo! It is a weird thing going on with the Babylonians. That's just on the side. It may not interest you. I just thought that's weird. Anyway, they come out, and so we think maybe that's what happened to them, one of those fates. And then Darius writes a new law. And the king's law was this. From now on, everyone in the kingdom, everyone will honor and revere the God of Daniel. Daniel comes out of the lion's den, and who gets all of the glory? God. Daniel's spared from lions eating him, for whose sake? God's. And we don't read that the people around went, "Woo, Daniel, you're amazing. Good pattern you've built in your life of praying repeatedly." Everybody in the kingdom had to respect and revere the God of Daniel. This is the key, I think, to the den. Because going into the den is a lot harder with the right attitude, with the right way, in the right way to show Jesus and God to people, than coming out of the den when you've been victorious. It is easy when God's held the mouths of the lions shut to come out and go, "God is so great." It is a lot harder to go into the den and go, "Do you know what? God is so great. And if this is my end, that's still him saving me. If this brings me down, that is still him saving me, because I trust in him." And you come out of the den, and so that everybody goes, "The God of Nikki needs to be honored and revered. The God of Phil needs to be honored and revered. The God of Andy needs to be honored and revered." All of us are going to go into the den. All of us. But it's here, in the repeated pattern of prayer, that I believe we defeat the lion. And you may be in the den right now and go, "I'm stuffed, I'm in the den, it's too late." It's not. It's not too late. Start building it now. Start building it now. Start making prayer your path of least resistance now. And you may be standing looking at the entrance to the den, going, "If only I started this a little bit earlier, maybe things would be better." Start it now. Start building this pattern now. Start letting prayer become your pathway of least resistance. Man, it is going to be harder if you're in the den than if you're not. And it's going to be hard if you're looking at the entrance to the den. Man, and if you're here, start building it now. Start building this pathway of least resistance now, because it's the easiest to do when you're here. But let me tell you, it's going to take some time. It's not overnight. It's you're going to be pushing it up. I'm going to invite Phil to come up. Because ultimately, your brain is lazy. It's lazy. It's looking for the easiest way to respond to a situation. And for most of us, for our lives, the easiest way to respond to a situation is how we always have. Worry, despair, hopelessness. But there's a different way. It's just going to take effort and work, because it's not going to happen overnight. We read in Romans, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by changing your this thing." Beginning to shift in what you perceive, see, and think here in your head. Beginning to look and go, "Okay, cool. If I do this for 30 days, it ain't going to change the pathway that's already established. For some of you, you're going to have to go for a year. I'm going to create a repeated pattern of prayer before I really see this becoming the pathway to least resistance. Just because of your age, that's okay. Start today. If you only start tomorrow, you're one day on. So start today. Begin to fix into your life a pattern of prayer. It's in this pattern you're going to defeat the lion. So when you do end up in the den, because you will, it will not be your end. And the very thing that the enemy is looking to use to bring you down will become the very thing that God will turn around to lift him up. Build it into your life, but it's going to take some time and effort. How great would it be if for all of us, prayer ends up being the pathway of least resistance? When our lazy brains go, we could try and think about this. We could try and work it through. Actually, do you know what? Just pray. It's easier. Just pray. We could take the effort and expenditure we need to worry, but just pray. We could get anxious about it, but you know what? Just pray. It's how you're built. It's how you're built. Your brain's designed for repetition. I believe that God wants to do extraordinary things through each one of you so that he is lifted up. And for a lot of us, those extraordinary things begin in the den. It begins in the den. And God does things where he begins to shut the mouths of the lions. Stop trying to get out of the den. Begin to build a pattern of prayer repeatedly in your life. This is where you're going to beat the lion. And when you do get into the den, God is going to save you. He's going to save you. Not always how you want him to or to look like you should. But he will save you. I don't know about you. I would love for prayer to be the pathway of least resistance in my life. I would love it. And you can have that. I'm going to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Because while you have to do a huge amount of work to make this a reality, God's Spirit wants to come behind you and encourage you and push you and kick you in the butt when you need to. And if you are serious about building this pathway into your brain, I'm telling you now, you're not going to get it through without the help of the Spirit. Because when you're going, I don't know if I can continue, God's Spirit will come behind you and go, yes, you can, keep going, keep doing it. Because it's not an overnight thing. For some of us, we're talking about a good solid 365 days of building this practice in our lives. But man, when this becomes the pathway of least resistance, everything can change. Everything can change. So God, we just invite you now, come and bring your Spirit. We want to be people, God, who don't try and spend our lives trying to find a shortcut out of the lion's den, but are people who have spent a life going, we have built habits in our lives that make our lazy brains go, prayer, reading the Bible, acting godly, these good things that you call us to is the way we respond and operate to every situation. We don't want to be crippled by the things we've learned in our past and the practices we've been putting in place that end up pulling us away from you. But rather, God, we want to be people who build new pathways in our brains so that our paths of least resistance will drive us to prayer. And so I pray now, God, because I need it, as many others in this room, I pray you would bring your Holy Spirit now and you would come and fill us. You would come and hold us and drive us forward in this area. You would give us the underlying commitment we need to make this a reality in our lives. And for those of us who need it, God, you'd be kicking our butts to make sure that we build this habit into our lives. So that when the lions den comes, we're not scrambling around, God, trying to find someone else to bring a breakthrough, someone else to bring a solution, but we can just know going in, whatever our outcome is, we just trust you'll save us. That we will know we defeated this lion years ago, when we built this practice in our lives. Make us a people, God, who pray regularly, because our brains are lazy, and so we need your help. Amen. Amen.